Hey, this is Jitterbug.
And Nerves.
From Talking Ship. And we are proud to announce another episode of Game Lounge.
Come on in.
Welcome, welcome. Come on into the Game Lounge. This is episode number 17, and I am the Fisherman.
And I'm still Farva.
And Farva, how's it going, man? How are you doing this evening?
You know, I'm not doing too bad. It's been an interesting day, to say the least.
Yeah.
Today, I drove all over town trying to find the best deal on a gaming device. I finally ended up paying full fucking price for it after driving around and wasting a full tank of gas. And, yeah, I have some thoughts on that for a little bit later in the show.
So, well, yeah, you called me at work four times.
Plus the text.
In a row.
Plus I texted the Mrs. Fish. And
yeah, then you Facebooked her.
I Facebooked her like, get a hold of him, I need him now.
It's like, you're a nurse and this is an emergency, I guess. This is in your world what counts as an emergency.
This constitutes a true emergency. Yeah.
You couldn't figure out where this deal was, because I have it in the show notes for later on, where this deal was that I've posted about this gaming device, and guess what? There's not one anywhere near you.
No. See, I'm actually looking, like, I'm looking at it right now. That's the deal that's to come later. And you're like, I put it right up there. No, you fucking didn't.
I guess I didn't.
So I was counting myself to remember. I want to get in on that. Oh, wait, I fucking can't, because he didn't say where. And he's not returning my fucking calls.
Indeed. Yeah, we'll get over it.
Indeed. So, what are you drinking?
So, you are all no. What are you drinking? Because you have been raving about this. Well, why don't you tell us all what you're drinking?
This is the perfect young man's alcoholic beverage.
Okay.
I discovered this last Thursday after our gamer night. I ended up not being able to sleep. Got back online and decided to do a little more gaming. Ended up gaming with some friends. Started drinking heavily. Well, all I had on hand was what I'm drinking now. And that's Sky Vodka and chilled red Gatorade. And it tastes like Gatorade with a kick. But I'll tell you what, I got fucked up. And as the three people I'll talk about later can attest, I was like screaming at like humping the walls drunk. Just ridiculous. Just like screaming obscenities and foul jokes, and it was just real bad. And like 4 hours later, I had to get up and go to work. I got up, went to work, not hardly a hangover at all, because the Gatorade had the electrolytes in it. I was getting it while I was getting drunk.
Nice.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah.
That's like that chaser tablet myth, you know, how they sell you chaser tablets, and have you ever tried any of those?
Yeah, you pee like super bright yellow and like a hint of green. It's weird.
But have you tried them? Have you done that?
Yeah.
Yeah. See, I've never tried it, but I always knew that the racket was the way you're supposed to take it is like every hour on the hour, a tablet and a glass of water.
Which is essentially just the glass of water.
Yeah, it's like, come on, really? You're really going to sell us this tablet and say that that's what's keeping us from getting a hangover? I don't think so.
No.
Yeah, so Farva has his own magical concoction over there. I've got a beer.
Pussy.
Just a
come
straight
on, mix it up. Like,
beer.
No, just like pour your beer over like, I don't know, vanilla ice cream and just like drink that down.
Okay, you know, we'll check this out. This beer is kind of adventurous because it is a Red Hook craft beer. Like, straight up, it reminds me of, you ever seen those commercials or the old movies like from the 50s where like they're in the grocery store and there's just the generic beer and it's just a can that says beer on it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it reminds me just like that. It is a bottle and there's a black and white label on it that says craft beer. And the reason I have this is because I went to the Sausage Fest out at Red Hook this past weekend, and it was this big event, and I actually went with my buddy Aladouche from Sarcastic Gamer.
Of course, so you got to take another dude to a Sausage Fest.
Well, yeah, actually, he brought his girlfriend, and there were plenty of women hanging around there.
Oh,
but
no, fest faux pas, fest faux pas.
it was really, really cool. His mom actually works for Red Hook, works for the brewery.
Oh, really?
And so she gets a ton of free beer, and she just we were having dinner that night, and she was just like, "Yeah, I got a bunch in the back of my car. You want to grab a six or a couple sixes?" and go with them. So I just grabbed a couple of sixes, and out comes this generic craft beer, but I think it's their autumn ale. I think it's just not bottled and labeled and all that stuff correctly. I think it's their autumn ale, and I'm liking it. It's not one of the best ones that they do. I think the best beer that they have there is one that they don't even bottle and sell. It's one you can only get inside their brewery, called the Wit Beer, which is the first thing that I tried first on Saturday. But it's kind of weird to be drinking out of a bottle that just has a label that says craft beer, and like it's like the mystery blow pops, you know, they were like white or something, and you had to kind of guess what flavor they were.
Yeah, you know what? This is you, next time we do this, you have to drink a drink that like wears an umbrella.
Fuck that, man! You get enough of that going on.
Pussy.
I was doing the Red Bull vodka thing when you were out here, man. I like a good mixed drink from every now and then, but I'm a fan of beer. What can I say, man? I'm on the right show. You're the one having to invent drinks over there. Just drink some beer, goddammit.
Hey, I am creative.
Yeah, you're something, all right. So we're going to move it on into a digital desk. Welcome to Digital Desk, and the first story is about Halo Reach. And you know what's interesting is one of the features that was held out for the launch of Halo Reach is campaign matchmaking. It's some weird, if you sort of juxtapose those things together, it's strange to think that you would ever go into a campaign and play with a random, you know, just a matchmaking random person.
Yeah.
And they didn't hold it out because they were technically incapable of it. What Bungie has said was that they held that out so that no one accidentally got the story spoiled for them.
Oh.
If you're not playing with your friends, you're playing with some random person who was to stop some jackass from just shouting out what the end of the game is.
Yeah.
You know? But that's going to be rolling out here, actually, fairly soon.
How bad the urge was to scream the ending right now?
Yeah, I know. Shut your fucking mouth. I'm about two chapters in, and we'll talk about that later. But, it's coming out next month for co-op matchmaking. I think the game, like I said last week, really tries to sell itself on the total package experience and not really just the campaign. Because you have the multiplayer, you have the firefight, you have the forge, you have all these different things. I've not spent hardly any time in the campaign, and I've spent a lot of time with the game, and I've hardly spent any time with the campaign. But I don't think I'll ever use campaign matchmaking. Do you think you'll ever use that, Farva?
Master Chief's name is John.
What? Get out.
They actually said that. That's at the end of Halo 3.
I said get out.
That's at the end of Halo 3. You know what's fucked up? I once went by at when that last book was coming out. Like, I don't know squat about the Harry Potter universe, but I know in the one before it, their Professor Dumbledick or whatever his name was died. Like someone killed him. So I like literally, me and some friends actually fought. Like we basically pushed our way to the front of the line of one of these like these long lines of Barnes and Nobles. Went in, bought a copy, walked out. He opened it up, flipped to the last like four pages, and screamed, "Oh my God, Dumbledore dies!" And everyone in line starts freaking out, not realizing we just yelled like the ending to the previous book. I don't know. It was just awesome.
So, you're a bunch of fucking cocksuckers,
it was,
man.
I mean, it was $20. Well, you know, $20 well spent.
What would you do if you were waiting in line for like Mass Effect 3 and some jackass that had pirated it came up to the front of the line, told everybody how it ended?
Well, all right. Considering how big Mass Effect, you know, honestly, I'd probably hit the guy in the fucking face.
Yeah.
Oh, I just knock his ass right out. Yeah, no one fought us because it was mostly like moms and little kids. You know, just
they're
like,
cast a spell
12
on you
year
or
old. You know, yeah. Shut up, Picus Maxicus. It's like, shut up, you little brat. But no, anyways. Nice. Okay, what were we talking about? Halo?
Anyways.
I don't care.
I
did not enjoy the Halo experience. It had some good points, but overall, I just found it to be underwhelming. Fuck you, Jitterbug, for disagreeing with me. And,
Well, we'll talk about that later. But, anyways, the next story is about a little website called GOG.com. Have you ever been to GOG.com, Farva?
No.
Okay. It is, GOG stands for Good Old Games. And what they specialize in is selling DRM-free older computer games that basically anybody could run. They have a lot of old classics there. And this weird thing has been happening over good old games, and nobody seems to really know what's going on. They said they needed to close, then they said they needed to reopen, then they said they were going to be open but in a different capacity, and then they said that they couldn't keep the business open for technical reasons. It's this weird runaround, and now good old GOG.com, if you go there, it's just this text blog that just sort of chronicles what's been happening over the past week, and there's not a whole lot here, but the good old games has always been the place to go for like a great like $2 game. You know, you want to play the old Hexen, that's like $2 on it. So you know, you want to waste a night playing Hexen or some old game from your past. Mm-hmm. You know, they had Doom, they had Doom 2, they had all the old Diablo games there. And the good thing about GOG.com was that they sold them DRM free. It's just the file. You don't have to go through like disk and copy protection or any of that normal shit you have to go through on PC. I don't know. It's sad to see a site like this that has kind of an indie spirit dying or changing or something. But I really hope that they can come back strong and keep offering things, because this actually, Farbot, this kind of is relevant to our show, because I was looking to this site in the coming weeks and months to supply us with new buried treasure games.
Ah.
You know, this is a great place that we could all, like, we could get our listeners involved and go and for like $1 or $2 get a game that we could all play through together, as opposed to the somewhat surreptitious way that we go about playing the buried treasure games.
Yeah, but those of you out there using emulators, shame.
You guys shame. Suck. A bunch of fucking assholes
need to go to the pawn shops. You need to buy an old NES. You need to scour the internet for the game. You need to order it for $42 from Amazon. Shame on you for using a free emulator.
That's the way you do it. That's the way we do it.
Oh, it has to be. I mean, there's no other way we would do it and have a gaming podcast.
Right. I mean, come on.
Okay, what do I think about this website? You know, honestly, never used it. It doesn't matter to me. Doesn't make one bit of difference.
Oh, that's too bad.
Isn't that sad? Oh, by the way, speaking of websites, do not go to shitimages.com.
I can't believe you had to instruct people.
I'm just telling people, do not, no matter what you do, go to shitimages.com.
Under what circumstance, Farber, did you think that going to shitimages.com was a good idea?
I never thought it was. I've never gone. I've heard it's a horrible site. I just want to inform the general public that you should never go to shit, S-H-I-T, images, I-M-A-G-E-S.com.
This does not sound like an I've heard it's horrible story. This sounds like a first-hand account.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I do not believe you for 1 minute. Our next story is about digital download sales, and on the PC they have finally turned that corner and eclipsed the disc-based media. And they've eclipsed going to the store and buying yourself a PC game. It happened. I feel like it was bound to happen on the PC first.
Oh yeah,
of course. Everybody's all hooked up to the internet on the PC. It's a much more pervasive platform. But I think the real reason why it works on the PC better than it does on the console, or at least it happened faster, is because the used game market on console games is still a large part of a lot of people's gaming budget.
Yeah.
It's not so on PC. You can't sell a used PC game. Well, I don't know. Maybe you can, but it's not a very good idea, or you probably won't get much out of it because they've been using copy protection. Like you know, it's funny. People got all up in an uproar about the EA Online Pass and the Cerberus Network and those things that pack in a one-time use code that gives you features for a game when you buy it new.
Yeah,
on consoles. Man, PC's been doing this since, like, 1980.
Yeah.
They have the little thing, find the third word of the 60th paragraph of the 20th page in the manual.
Well, the difference between those, though, is that when the PC does it, it literally like inhibits you from reusing that game again.
Right.
Whereas on the console, it's just, hey, it's just extra shit. You still get the main game. So if like you decide to sell me a game for $5 and you spend 60 on it, sure, I just save $55 and you're a retard, but you get to have like, you know, you get to have the mercenary, or you get to have an extra like add-on mission that I'm not going to get to play unless I pay the extra to make it up to them. And I think that's a great idea. It's incentive for people. Like, I love Mass Effect, so Mass Effect 3 comes out, I will pre-order it, and I will get whatever extra crap I can get out of it, and I will buy whatever network or whatever comes with it. I will use all of that, and then if for some godforsaken reason someone steals it from me, well, fuck them, but they don't get the full game experience. Yeah. They still can play the game, but meh.
There's been a big uproar lately about the morality of buying used games, and about how I think Penny Arcade made a post about it where they said basically, hey, if you're buying a used game, you're not a consumer of that publisher. You're not a consumer of that game developer. You're not.
No.
You're buying it from GameStop, and you're a consumer of GameStop because that game has already been purchased by somebody else. They're the consumer from that publisher.
Yeah.
And now you haven't bought it from them. And a lot of people took that to be an offensive thing to say, that hey, you're not supporting gaming if you're buying used games.
It's the truth.
But it's not the truth, man.
That is the truth.
It is absolutely not the truth. If you think of it in terms of black and white, you're not giving your money to the developer. You're not handing over your dollars to that developer.
Okay, if you knitted together a sweater and you sold it to Undead Dog for $20, then Undead Dog wears it for a couple weeks and decides, you know what, I don't want the sweater anymore, and he sells it to me for $15. Well, I have a sweater, but I'm not supporting you directly. No additional money went into your pocket. I am not supporting your knitting prowess.
We're not talking about sweaters, bro. We're talking about games that have sequels.
It's the same thing. All I'm doing is I didn't go and buy that extra game, which goes to the developer, which says, hey, I have bought another, like, Undead Dog bought one, and I bought one, meaning we both enjoyed this game. A little extra money goes into your pocket to make it more profitable, for make you say you want to come back and generate another game in that series. What I'm doing is I'm giving money to Undead Dog, saying, hey, you're finished with it, let me play it, and Bungie or BioWare doesn't get anything for their sweater.
The way I see it is, it's the cost of doing business when you have a new IP, when you have something. How many people do you think, Farva, didn't buy Mass Effect new, bought it used, but then when they got through it, they were like, holy fuck, that was an amazing game, and then went out and bought Mass Effect 2 new? Because it came with a Cerberus network, and it came with all the new shit. You are supporting the publisher in the sense that you're supporting their future endeavors. The more people get their hands on a publisher's game, the better it is for the publisher, no matter what.
Well, yeah, there's definitely a bonus, but it's a secondary bonus.
Sure.
Initially, the money, you are not supporting them directly.
No, of course not.
If you didn't buy Mass Effect 1, you did not support BioWare. If you decide to buy Mass Effect 2, then you supported BioWare. But to say, I mean, there's always a secondary rub. That's like in industry wide. If, you know, Dell does great with computers, for some reason they put out a new computer and their stock goes up, Gateway's stock will go up, Compaq stock. It's an industry wide shift that if one part jumps, the rest of there's kind of this overflow to it. That's all this is, yeah. You're right. It's an overflow. It's not like you directly impacted that in any way, shape, or form.
Right, but you are. It is good for the developer when people buy their games, no matter how they buy them.
Getting their hands on it either way. I mean, don't get me wrong. I've bought used games before. I'm not being so pious that, well, I've never bought a used game. There have been times when I've heard that a game's pretty good, but, you know, I was waiting for it to come down on price, and before it hit the price point that I was recommended to me, I saw it used at that price point, and there was no extra, you know, I wasn't missing out on anything extra that would have come with the game, so I picked it up, you know?
Has your experience with a used game ever led you to buy a new sequel that you weren't going to buy before?
Honestly, no, because generally, like, I know what I like. I kind of keep my, you know, my ear to the rail, so to speak, and I know what's coming down the pipe, so I'm already interested. So I know it's like, okay, this game is coming, I'm going to want this. And every so often it's, this game's coming. Usually what I've gone out and I've rented games before, and then been like, wow, I want this, and gone out and bought it.
Yeah.
That I've done. But I've never bought a used game and said, oh my god, I need to get more of these.
Yeah. I mean, it's happened to me a couple of times. Dead Space was one where it happened. I will be getting Dead Space 2 new when it comes out. Assassin's Creed 2. I have put my pre-order in for Assassin's Creed Brotherhood. And that's less, I think, to do with the experience of Assassin's Creed 2 as it is the fact that Assassin's Creed Brotherhood sold me at PAX. And other games have done this where I feel like if I hadn't gotten my hands on it used, I would never have gotten my hands on it. And then I wouldn't be interested at all in their forthcoming titles. But anyway, so that's, I think, why... That's why I think that disc-based media still rules the console market, because you can go out and buy a used game, you can rent a game, you can do all this stuff that you can't really do on a PC. Not so much, but I mean the offshoot for the PC is that games are cheaper there. The games are always at least $10 cheaper. Usually they go on these crazy ass sales that Steam has.
Oh yeah,
but that is, I think, a large part of why the digital download has outpaced PC sales is just Steam. I'm sure Valve is just laughing from their pile of money.
Oh, that's exactly what I mean.
And stories like this.
Most people who game on their PCs do it from home. They have desktop computers that are their gaming PCs. Now, sorry, right. I'm sure there are people out there like, fuck it, I do it on my laptop. I got a great, good for you. I'm not talking about you then, dipshit. But for those of you who, you know, like you have that like badass gaming PC with the 3D screen and all that.
Yeah.
It's stupid of you to do it any other way than on Steam. You're always at your desk. You're always connected to the internet. You know, unless the internet's down for, you know, a couple hours for maintenance, whatever. But you're all pretty much, your game is always there. It's so much cheaper. You don't have to worry about a disc getting scratched. I mean, there's such a the number of reasons to buy. And the other thing is like when you bought BioWare's Dragon Age.
Yeah.
Where did you buy it at?
Bought that one on a disc, actually.
Yeah, but from where? What store?
I think Amazon, I'm sure.
Really?
I'm sure it's probably Amazon.
See, I was walking the store. I bought mine at Walmart. I don't know where to go to buy PC games. Because, like, I take my computer to work, and that's where I do things. Not at work. But when I'm off, I'm during my downtime, that's when I look at games and stuff. But the hard thing is like, I go to GameStop, and it's all console crap and this and that, and they might have a small PC selection, but there's really nothing good there. I don't know where to go to buy PC games.
It's tough. You can't get them at GameStop anymore, really.
You don't get them at GameStop. There's really nothing. Best Buy doesn't even have a real good selection. Walmart, every so often, will have some of the big titles, but it'll have, like, Battlefield Bad Company 2, Borderlands, games that I already own on a console.
Yeah.
You know? If I'm looking for, like, I don't know, some dungeon crawler thing, just something different, something that's PC only, I have a hard time finding it.
Yeah.
There's no PC gaming stores anymore.
And the other big reason why you see this on the PC and not on the console is I am a firm believer that we would have seen this already on the consoles, if not for one reason, and that's that Sony and Microsoft and Nintendo need to keep up a relationship with retailers that PC makers do not.
No.
They can sell their shit online. They can fulfill their own shit from Dell.com or whatever, or through Newegg or whatever you get your PC shit through. I tell you what, if Sony decides, hey, we're going to do all download, we're going to introduce a 2 terabyte hard drive onto the PS3 and do everything digital download, and guess what, everybody, is going to cost $20 a game. You know who would be the first, you know what would happen? The first thing that would happen would be everybody would stop selling PS3s.
Yeah.
You know, Walmart, Best Buy, Target, everything would stop selling PS3s. And the argument against that is the iPod, because obviously the iTunes is where you get your music, but the iPod is just such a totally different animal. It's so pervasive. It's a regular person product in the way that the gaming consoles are not. So I think we're still, I still think we're about 10 years away from seeing the corner turn on digital downloads being the pervasive thing on consoles. Yeah. It'll happen, but it's going to take a long time because they got to get over that hump of getting past the retailers. It's got to be a next generation thing.
I agree.
Yeah, so that's going to do it for that one. And then a couple more things here. There was this little convention out in Japan. I don't know if you heard of it. It's called the Tokyo Game Show.
I did. I heard about it.
The TGS. And did you watch any of the coverage from the TGS this year, Farber? Did you look at any of that stuff?
No.
Yeah, you didn't miss much.
I heard.
I was scouring the sites to see if, like, okay, great. We got this digital desk coming up. It's going to be right after Tokyo Game Show. There's going to be a ton of shit for me to talk about. It's great. I don't need to be digging around for shit, like, on this website that nobody cares about, goodoldgames.com. I don't got to start up a rant and a diatribe about digital downloads versus console games. I don't got to do any of that shit.
We do not have to talk about shitimages.com.
Didn't have to do that. We're going to have a ton of shit to talk about from Tokyo Game Show. Guess what happened at Tokyo Game Show? Donkey Dick happened at Tokyo Game Show. Nothing of interest, to me at least, came out of Tokyo Game Show outside of maybe that Spider-Man was confirmed for Marvel vs. Capcom 3.
Although yeah. He was in the first one, so it's like, and he's been in every single one so far. It's like, really?
And he's like the guy.
Yeah.
He's like the one that, you know, him and Wolverine are like the fun ones to play in that.
Oh, it's those, like, are the two I use. Crazy. I'm such a dirty, cheating bastard with those two.
Yeah. It's like, really? Oh, wow. What a surprise. Great breaking news out of TGS. Spider-Man's in Marvel vs. Capcom. I don't know, man. Is this because I don't care about Yakuza? Is this because I don't really get into the Onichimara series or any of the Japanese games? Because I just don't get it, man. I should care at one of these huge conventions about what's happening, but I just don't. I'm not into Japanese developed games all that much anymore.
As far as Japan is concerned, in my opinion, I go to Japan for my tentacle porn and for my Metal Gear Solid franchise. Outside of that, I couldn't give a shit.
Right. That's so good. I'm sure they'd be happy to hear that.
Although, yeah. I'm trying to get into sushi. I'm trying to become cultured.
Okay. Yeah. You should have had some of that when you were out here.
I did. I did. I would say that's where I was introduced to sushi for the first time. Thank you, Aladouche.
Oh, there you go. Man.
Actually, it was Aladouche, like, and Undead Dog. Introduced me to my first sushi. It was solid.
Oh, right on.
Yeah.
Solid.
Spicy tuna roll.
Oh, yeah. That's a classic, man. That's a good one. Yeah, I don't know, man. Japanese game development, even the game like Dead Rising 2, you had these hooks and what they call design elements that are just annoyances, like no auto saves, for example, and punishing system, like in Demon's Souls. I never played it, but apparently it was one of the.
I've heard it's brutal. In fact, I almost bought that today. Yeah. I saw it for $40. I almost bought it, but I have so many other, like, just long games that I have to finish beating. Like, I've still not finished all of Red Dead Redemption yet.
Right.
So there's, like, so many of these other long games that I've got to beat first. But eventually I am going to just take 2-3 weeks to just tear into that fucker.
Right. I think the other thing that didn't come out of Tokyo Game Show, which I think a lot of people were expecting, was announcements about the 3DS, the Nintendo 3DS. And there has been some speculation flying around, Farva. Have you seen any of the rumors about this, about when it's being released and where it's being released?
It depends. Have we talked about this previously?
I don't think so.
Then no, because you're where I come to for, like, all of my gaming news outside of what games are releasing when and what they're about.
Right. I should really just stop asking you these questions.
It would be a lot easier. You're like, just give me the news and then ask me what I think.
it's more like I'm asking the listeners, hey, listeners, have you heard about this? And Farber's like, no. Well, let me tell you. There's a contractor for a manufacturer of peripheral devices in Japan said that all of his peripherals were going to come out in November, like I think on like the 24th or something like that.
Okay.
To coincide with the launch of the Nintendo 3DS. So, and then it's not like this just happened and he was just some Yahoo. He was just some Yahoo, but it turns out, like, the next day, his Twitter account was gone. Like, not only was that tweet gone, but his account was gone. It had been blackballed and taken down. And apparently they're going to be announcing the pricing and release dates for this system in September of this year, this month, in a couple of weeks. But what's interesting is that a Nintendo representative has also said that they will not ignore any major markets in the initial launch of the 3DS. Hmm. And what that says to me is that simultaneous launch in Japan and the U.S.
About fucking time.
And, yeah, that's a shocker. I mean, that does not happen with Nintendo. You know, they launched the Wii at the same time, but the DS models they've always launched early in Japan. We just got the DSi XL, the gigantic one, and this will be the third DS model launched this year, and by far the biggest upgrade, obviously.
Yeah.
But what do you think, Farva? If it comes out around Thanksgiving, you going to be getting one of these things?
No. No. I have so many other little gaming consoles and shit. I just went out and bought the I'll just put it out there. I bought the Move today, mm-hmm. and I spent about $170 on that. Uh-huh. And I'm going to be buying Kinect for around that same time. I would be hard pressed to be able to sneak a 3DS past my wife after I just bought a new PSP, the Peace Walker edition.
Like, yeah.
Not more. Well, it wasn't more than what, 2 months ago?
Probably about 2 months ago.
Yeah. So there's no way in hell I would get away with that. No.
Yeah. What would be the price break where you would actually try and pull this thing off?
Well, it's not even a matter of that, because there are a bunch of great DS games out there, so I've heard.
Uh-huh.
And right now I can buy a used DS for $80, you know, which is, or even cheaper than that, you know, at a DSi that's, you know, I can bring in DSi, I think, for like right around $80-$85 used. So
yeah.
It's not really the price point thing. It's just a matter of when do I have fucking time?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, between the Wii, you know, my Xbox, now my PS3, I'm trying to get more back into my PS3. I've got the PSP, I've got my iPhone, I've got, you know, I've got my computer. I've just got too many irons in the fire as is.
Well, I'll be getting it if it comes out, man. You know me.
Well, then I'm going to get one.
Yeah, and I will talk it up, and I will make you feel like a pile of shit for not having one. And then you'll go and get it, and you'll have some lackluster experience with it. I'm just predicting how your Christmas is going to go this
year.
That's
exactly what's going to happen.
Your kids won't get any gifts.
You're like, it's the greatest thing since Jesus Christ. I'm like, oh my God. Well, I got to get a piece of this digital Christ, and it's just not going to work out. And I'm going to be upset. Be like, it turned my water into grape juice. It wasn't fermented. I'm pissed off.
that's how it's been going. But that's kind of the way it goes. I really, really hope it comes out in November. I really don't think it's going to, though. I mean, come on, really? You just revealed the thing at E3, but Nintendo has been the company for the short cycles. You know, they come out, they show a game at E3, like New Super Mario Brothers, for example, comes out that year.
Yeah,
that's how they do
it. I can see it. They've already got working models.
Yeah,
and I've seen they work well. It's a matter of mass producing it. And if they've been doing spending this whole time just mass producing them, and you know, for a worldwide release them right before Christmas. Why would they not? That's genius. Why wait 6 months and release in the middle of summer when you know, after it's a reset at Easter? You know, hey, happy Easter! I got you a 3DS. You know, it doesn't work that way. You know, if you get your chocolate eggs at Easter, and you get your 3DS at Christmas.
Yeah. Clearly, this device is a holiday release. I just didn't think it would be this holiday. I really didn't.
Oh, it's easily this holiday. As soon as I saw a working model, I knew it was coming out this year.
Nice. Well, I hope so, because that's something I would really look forward to. That would be the bang of the gaming. Yeah, this year is one of those weird half-console cycles. You know, you got the Move and the Kinect coming out, and now you've got And not even just that in the 3DS, but you've got the Rock Band coming out with all of its super crazy expensive peripherals that change the entire complexity of the game. All these things are coming out at once, and it's just one of these half console cycle years. I think Rock Band, I think Harmonix just like, hey, okay, if you guys want to start selling really expensive peripherals, we've been doing that for years, so let's come up with a really, really expensive one.
I'm just pissed at the symbols that they're adding. And you can buy just the cymbals with a whole new drum kit. The cymbals do not work with the original Rock Band drum kit, which is what I have. I've taken good fucking care of that drum kit, and now it's all for naught. I'm like, you fuck us.
I know. What are you going to do, man? It's been like 4 years since that thing came out.
I'm still going to keep using it. I'm going to use that fucker until I'm going to duct tape it. I'm going to be welding it. I'm going to have like extra drumsticks just to like hold the thing together. No, I will beat that thing into submission.
Yeah. You haven't done it yet, so just keep at it, I guess.
Yeah.
That's going to do it for digital.
Sorry, I was just going to say, yeah, I like my my drum kits like I like my women, you know? Just they get battered and broken, but you beat them into submission.
That's how Farva does it, man.
That's how I do it.
That's going to do it for Digital Desk. We're going to go on into the care package. All right, this is the care package. We've got a special care package today because on this day that we are recording this show, a game came out that my girlfriend has been looking forward to for about a year-ish, or probably ever since she laid her hands on the prequel. And that game is Civilization V. It launched today, and we pre-ordered it through Steam, so she was able to get her ass up in the morning and start playing it, and she had the entire day off to play it. So she pulled a Farva in the sense that she had the entire day off to play a game that released today. And so, I mean, who more qualified to talk about it than her? So I'm going to hand her the headphones, and Farva and her are going to have a discussion about Civilization V. So here she is.
Okay. Are you there? Mrs. Fish. Mrs. Fish, are you with me?
I'm here.
It appears we have technical difficulties. Mrs. Fish, are you there?
I'm here.
Mrs.
Can you
Fish.
Hear me?
Oh, can you hear me? Hi. How are you?
Hi.
Thank you so
fine.
Much for joining
How
us
are
here
you?
On this care package. I'm talking. You don't talk when I talk. I'm the host. I ask questions. Okay, you ready?
I'm ready.
First question. What color is your hair?
Blonde.
Okay. Second question. What's your bra size? I'm
Do
kidding.
You, really
you don't.
Want
you
to
don't.
Know?
No, you don't have to answer that. I'm sorry. That was just for the listeners. We'll put it in the show notes. Okay. All right. Civilization V. I don't know dick about this game. This is what I know. I know that this is a PC game. Yes.
It is.
Okay.
Yes.
That there were four previous iterations of this game.
Correct.
Okay. That there is no score in this game.
No, that's incorrect.
No. Oh, this all right. Tell me about the scoring system.
Okay, well, it depends on your city size, it depends on your culture value, it depends on who you're attacking and if you're winning or if you're losing, the amount of, you know, military units you have.
Go back, you just confused me. Let's start from the beginning. If you were explaining to a drunken retard who happens to live in Texas...
That's you.
Theoretically, if you were talking to a semi-retarded, half-stubbing a chubby male nurse... how would you describe this game?
Awesome. No, really. This version, compared to, like, Civ 4, they streamlined it a lot, so it's a lot easier to handle, especially for a newbie. Somebody who has never tried it, this is very easy to get into and could start building your empire and starting to attack other people, or not attack other people, depending on how you want to play.
Okay.
The combat is a lot better. You can't stack units. So before in Civ 4, you could have, you know, 15 archers in one location and go and obliterate a barbarian, you know, horde or your neighboring town. This time you can only have one unit of a specific type in each tile. So I could have a settler in a tile, and then I could have like a worker in a tile, but I couldn't have two warriors in a tile because they're the same type.
Ooh.
So it makes combat a lot more strategic because you have to plan. You have to look ahead and say, okay, well, this is the hill. I have archers. Let's put these archers on this hill so I can shoot down at this little city that I want to capture, and I'll actually start taking down their defenses a lot quicker than just sending a barbarian in, sending
Got
a big
it.
Warrior in.
Okay. What is the benefits of, you said that if you choose to attack, if that's your game type, why would you attack, or why would you not, like, why would I not attack?
Well, I don't attack, typically. It's not how I play. I build wonders, and I build, you know, great cities with lots of culture and libraries and all of
so
these
gay.
Fabulous... That's
so
fine.
So gay.
That's fine. That's how I play, and then
no,
I
tell me about your fabulous
and...
buildings. Fabulous buildings. Keep telling
fabulous
me,
fabulous buildings. So, you know, you can build the great library, or you can build, let's see... You could build the Colosseum. You can build lots of different types of buildings that attract culture.
Oh, my God. Okay, I have to stop you. Just
Farva
listening.
Farva's fish.
No,
she plays Civ 5 like you drink alcohol.
Oh, I got to say.
Hold on. I'm gonna tell you how I
No, you have to
today.
Stop. After listening to you building all of these beautiful things, that's so gay it makes me want to suck a cock. So let's go back
okay,
to the
Okay, but I varied my play today.
Oh, thank God.
That's what I wanted to tell you.
Thank God she went by today. Okay, tell me about your college experience.
So today when I got this game, I was like, okay, well, let's do this and let's build my cities. And I got going and I had these cities, but there was the city-state, which is a new aspect of Civ 5. Before, you didn't have city-states. So this time I had this city-state, and one of these other city-states was like, hey, Jamie, I really hate this guy. He's a bastard. Can you go kill him for me? So I got together a whole bunch of archers, and I got together some spearmen and a couple warriors, and I attacked them with my archers, and I got their defenses down, and I took over the city. It's not something that I normally do, but it did take time. It wasn't something that was going to be done in, like, 3 or 4 turns. It took a good 10 to 15 turns to take down their defense and figure out my strategy. I really liked it, and I think going forward I'm going to have to do that more often. Maybe not necessarily against other civilizations, but maybe against other city-states.
You see, people, and this is why video games are so great for people, for their self-esteem in general. I mean, when else would a blonde woman lead an army into battle? When? You will never find that anywhere else in the history of mankind.
There was a Celtic warrior that was a woman.
She was gay.
She was not gay.
So gay. So gay. Okay. Anyway, I don't know. She may have been gay. She may not. I don't know. She was Celtic.
Who knows?
They all wore dresses back then. Nobody knew. Nobody ever knew. So okay.
It's true.
All right. So any final thoughts on Civ 5? Give me, besides, it's awesome. Give me the best, finest points to take a guy like me who wants to shoot shit and blow shit up and wants to have a high score and a purpose. Like, why should I buy this game?
Because it's different than the previous one. If you've never played them before, this one's, its interface is very streamlined. It's easy for you to get in and understand, okay, this city's building me spearmen. I can continue to have spearmen built, and once I have enough spearmen, I can go and attack my neighbor, or I can attack the city-state. If you don't want to play that way, you don't necessarily have to, but it is a good option. Otherwise, you can make peace with your city-states, and if you do that, they will give you warriors, they will give you spearmen, or they will give you luxury items to make your people happy while you're building your army. It's nope. Really easy. You can go through and you can start at the easiest level. You can start really hard. For somebody who's never played before, it's an interesting way to try something new. And it is fun. You get to attack people. There's random things. There's, barbarians that'll come attack you if you're not guarding your cities well enough. And then you're losing your cities and then you're game over. You're done. So for you, I don't know if you're going to play it because, you're just a drunken Texan.
Exactly.
But for others, there is a big following for Civ games. Civ 5 is very much different and very similar to the previous one. It contradicts itself because it's more streamlined, it's different, but it still has, at the core, the same foundation of every other Civ game ever created.
All right, very cool. Well, Mrs. Fish, thank you so much. And on a personal note, I want to say thank you. When I was out there for PAX, I left some stuff behind. I did that on purpose so that I could, sneak my way back for a visit.
Yeah,
unfortunately,
you
were smart enough to go ahead and mail those out to me. I got those today. Thank
Fabulous.
You very
I'm
much.
So glad.
I also
You're
appreciate
welcome.
The extra panties thrown in the bottom of the box.
Yeah, there were no panties in there. They must have been the UPS ladies.
I will keep that. That's just between us, baby girl. Shh. No one's going to know. No one will ever know.
Oh, yeah.
So,
I'm sure.
Much appreciated. Everyone, I know she can't hear you, but round of applause for Mrs. Fish and her Civ 5 review.
Enjoy that, Father?
That was awesome. Welcome back. All right, people, this is Fish. He is back. He has joined us. Welcome back from the dead, my friend.
Oh, thank you, man. Did you enjoy that? See, I'm not really all that into Civ. I am sometimes distracted by it. When she's playing on the computer, I'm playing something on the console across the room. But Civ 5 seems to have caught my interest. I'm going to give it a try because from what I hear, like what she was saying, it does cater a little bit to people who have never played Civilization before. And if from what I hear, if you liked Civilization Revolution, you remember that? It came out on the consoles?
Oh, yeah, no.
Yeah, okay. Well, it was a pretty big Xbox 360 release. It was one of those rare strategy games on the 360 that people have said that they got it right, which is tough to do for a strategy game on a console. It's been said if you like Civilization Revolution, it also came out for the iPhone and the iPad and all that stuff. then they carry over the interface into this one, and you'll probably like this one. So I'm gonna give it a crack. You know what's interesting, Farv, is that it's actually putting my PC suit through some pretty good paces. It's grinding to put it on the highest display settings. So I don't know what that means. I don't like that. I don't like that, and that seems like something that needs to get fixed to me.
All right. Well, thank you very much for sharing your wife with me.
Yeah.
That was awesome. Much appreciated. So that was awesome having her for a care package. Do you have a care package, sir? Because I know I do.
I think we both do, and I think we both have the same thing. And it's funny because as you guys were talking about Civilization V, I was actually playing with the care package sitting next to her here. And experiencing one of the troubles that I'm having with this care package. So I think we come right out and say it. Both of our care package for this week is going to be the PlayStation Move.
It is.
We both got it within the past couple of days. I got it last night. Farber got it today. And I put it on my Facebook last night when we were playing with it that, you know what, for everybody who thought that the PlayStation Move was like a roided up Wiimote, guess what? You're absolutely right.
That's exactly what it is.
You are 100% right, but I'll tell you what, that thing is pretty fucking awesome.
Really?
I like it. I like it a lot.
I'm a bit of a hater, but I've run into a couple of problems, and you tell me, talk about it, and I'll talk about it, and go ahead.
Okay. Well, the first thing I noticed was when you get on the menus, and you can actually point the screen, and your reticle for where you're pointing at isn't flying all over the fucking place. That was nice. That it was actually pointing where you were pointing it to, which was different than my experience on the Wii almost every time I play it. And then I got into the Sports Champion game with ping pong and played some ping pong, and that was pretty accurate. And you know, every time I fucked up and sent the ball flying off in some backward ass direction, I could immediately track it back and look down at my hand and see I had somehow twisted the controller in my hand so it was turned around.
Mm-hmm.
I could track it back to something that I was doing, not something the game was just freaking out on me with.
Okay.
And then we played disc golf, and that was a pretty fun experience. That's something that you don't get on the Wii. I mean, a lot of these Sports Champions games you get on the Wii.
Yeah.
It's like the same. It's like ping pong and archery. It's like stuff that's come out either in their Wii Sports or Wii Sports 2 or Wii Party or some of that stuff. Disc golf, I don't think they've come out with yet because I don't think they can do this level of accuracy that the Move does.
Well, and, they probably can with, like, I have not got the Wii Sports Resort.
Yeah.
You know, with the extra little thing. All I have is just the regular Wii Sports because I was honestly going to get rid of the thing until it came out with Netflix, and then I decided to keep it because my daughter's getting into that age. But, you know, I don't have, like, she doesn't need the super high-sensitive, you know, extra little add-on for it. So that...
Sure.
I've heard with the Wii, like, Sports Remote, with that little add-on thing, it's much more sensitive. They could probably do it with that. Because don't they have, like, something where you, like, toss your Frisbee to a dog?
Something like that. I have that thing in it, and while the motion support is a lot more accurate, the actual act of pointing and stuff like that, mm-hmm. not accurate. Not still the same old shit. I mean, maybe I'm the only person that gets this trouble where it just flies all over the fucking place. You got to be at the exact right distance from the TV to make it point where you want it to point. And maybe that's just me. But the Move, I didn't have that problem with. I was pointing, and it was working. I could move it all over the screen without any trouble, and it was going exactly where I was telling it to go. And I was having a good time with it. The one thing that I will say about it is I didn't get a navigation sub-controller. The nunchuck thing?
Nunchuck, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't get that. And I feel like it has some pretty critical elements that are missing from this, like a direction pad.
Yeah, that's annoying as hell.
It's fun to flip around the XMB, the cross media bar, on the PlayStation dashboard with thing, and like, oh, cool, I can hold down the button, flip around. You hold down the trigger, and you can just like kind of scoot it to the left and the right, and throw things and go up and down. You lose the precision control. You will sometimes go be looking at your friends list, and you're like 10 friends deep, you're trying to figure out what that 12 friend's doing, and all of a sudden it'll pop over into the PlayStation Network tab, and you'll have to go all the way back over and do it all over again. That's one thing that I think is really severely limiting the thing. But everything else that I've tried with it, I've had a great time with it, and not just Sports Champions. But what's your initial impressions of this thing?
Okay, first things first. Pulled it out of the box. Went to set it up. You got to charge the fucker. Yes.
No.
Yeah. You got to charge the little, you know, the little wand things.
Nope. Mine came with a charge.
All right. There's a little charge to them, but they need to be charged eventually. Yes.
Eventually. Yeah. Eventually, you got to charge
it. Just fucking say yes.
You got to charge it. I played it. I pulled it right out of the box. I charged it when I was done last night, and then I picked it up this morning.
Okay, you got to charge them. Did yours come with a USB with a mini USB connector?
It did not.
Neither did mine, which was fucking annoying as hell. And that was the first thing that's like, uh-oh, they're nickel and diming it. And apparently, like, I put in the little demo disc as it walks you through it, because I'm like, I want to see if I'm missing any steps. And it says, take the one that came with your PS3 that you plug in your controller with. I'm like, well, what if I'm fucking charging my controller? That's why I'm using
this. Oh,
did it
say that?
Yeah, that's what you're supposed to be using. Now,
that's hilarious.
I happen to have a bunch of those lying around the house.
Yeah,
and then I bought a second. Now, did you buy a second one?
No, I did not.
I have two. Bought two because I wanted if I'm going to get this thing, I'm fucking throwing myself into it. So I bought two. And the second one does not come with one. So, I get the excuse that if you buy one that comes with the package, you're going to say you're going to use that with the controller's, you know, charge cable. Okay, great.
Sure, maybe.
But
whatever.
If you have two, you know, if you buy a separate one, that should come with a fucking cable.
Yeah.
So, okay, right off the bat, that fucking pissed me off.
I agree with that.
Right off the bat, that pissed me off. Now, I have a TV that's, like, mounted up on the wall. So,
okay. Yep.
I had a hard time like finding a place to set, and it's a flat screen TV. So finding a place to set my camera, I had to like bring a table over and put some, like a vase upside down on it to put the camera underneath the TV. I found that to be kind of annoying. That was a pain in the ass. I finally got the thing upright. Okay, then I turned on my PS3. I got another fucking update. I just updated it like 3 days ago.
Right, so, I saw that too. That's actually the update that bricks the cracked PS3s. Have you heard about that? You heard about the people being able to crack the PS3 finally. That's the update that gets rid of that.
Oh, okay. Well, anyway, so I had to deal with that. Then you put in the little disc. I'm like, okay, let's get started. No, wait, you have to like upload some more shit from that disc. So that's another.
Oh, did you put the demo disc in first?
Yeah.
Oh, see, yep, that's so, I had the opposite experience.
So, that's 10 minutes, and I'm waiting, so 10, 15 minutes, I'm waiting for that shit. That's finally done. I finally get in, I get going, I start the game, I get it going, okay, I did the ping pong first. Now, when you put the camera up and you set it up and you've got to, like, calibrate it every time you start a game, I went to calibrate, I calibrated it, but I stood in that stupid box, like, my feet were at the bottom, my head was at the top.
Okay.
Supposedly, your feet, the bottom of that box is supposed to cut across, like, your thighs.
Yeah.
Not your feet. So I'm trying to play, and I'm having to, like, swing the stupid paddle down by my knees. And I'm like, okay, that's fucking weird. So I figured that out. So I get closer. I start playing. Now, my daughter's seeing this, and she wants to try. Sweet. So I adjust the camera for her. I set her up. I hold it up to her shoulder. Click. Ding. No problem. I hold you. Now, to calibrate this thing, you stand in the box. You click it once to say, I'm in the box. It says you're good. Then you hold it to your shoulder, you click the button, it says you're good. You hold it to your side, down to your by your side, you click it, and then you hold it to, like, to your belt and click it. And then you're calibrated. So the calibration system, although you have to do it every single time, not really that big a deal. Right?
Right. So yeah, that's like 3 seconds.
Yeah. So she stands there, she clicks it, she holds it to her shoulder, she clicks it, she holds it down, she clicks it, and error. Error, error, error. Kept fucking erroring, and I finally figured it out. It's because she's so little, it's not reading a far enough distance from her shoulder down to her side.
Oh.
Even though it's like a foot and a half to 2 feet of space, this thing can't read that, so my daughter can't use this fucking thing that I just bought as a family tool. So she's heartbroken over this, and she's devastated because the machine doesn't like her.
Oh,
and
no.
I'm like upset about this. So like I'm fucking with this thing forever. Finally, I get into the game. The games are okay. The ping pong's okay. Frisbee is fun. I actually do like the archery a lot.
Okay, I didn't try archery.
Archery is fun. There's like a sword fighting one, and if you have two, one acts as a shield and one acts as a sword.
That's
kind of
cool.
It's all right. It's nothing amazing. It's not really And it's just there. I mean, I can see myself playing a lot of the archery, a lot of the frisbee one. They have another one, some Baco or Baca or Bocce.
Bocce ball, yeah.
Whatever. I don't know. It's foreign.
Have you tried that one?
It's foreign. God, no.
I heard it was pretty good. I didn't try it either, but I heard that, you know, despite our lack of understanding of the game of bocce ball, apparently it's the kind of game that you would want to play with something like this. It's like bowling, except for you're throwing the thing instead of you're throwing it in the air.
Well, the end result was, after all of this, that I ended up sitting, I took my daughter into the bedroom, put on Wii Boxing, showed her how to work that in Wii Bowling, and let her do that because she was just heartbroken that this game didn't like her. And I just, coming with the cables and realizing that if you don't have it, you're going to have to get nickel and dime to death on that is ridiculous. Especially when I bought a second controller that came by itself, that should have come with a cable. If the first one I can kind of get it, okay, that's an excuse, it's a bullshit excuse, because when I bought the PS3 and it came with a controller, that had a fucking cable. So if you buy a second controller and it needs a charging, it should come with a fucking cable.
When you buy a second controller for the PlayStation, do those come with a cable? I can't remember.
I don't know. I only have one controller.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know, but I'm with you, man. It used to be that PlayStation was the one that came with all the shit you needed. Like that was the selling point of the PlayStation. Yeah, it costs a little more than the Xbox 360, but hey, it comes with Wi-Fi inside of it. You don't gotta pay for online. It comes with a gigantic hard drive already. It comes with a Blu-ray player. It comes with the HDMI cord in there. It came with everything. And now it's gone the other way around.
You had to buy an HDMI.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
I thought they added one pretty quick.
Nah, they may have. Maybe I'm wrong. I mean, I bought it. I bought mine about 6 months after they came out, and I bought the 120 gig or whatever it was, the biggest hard drive they had. That was okay. And it was also backwards compatible with the PS2.
Right, that was the other thing, yeah.
Yeah, it was backwards compatible, so I still have a backwards compatible one. And after all of that, yeah, it came with, but it did not come with an HDMI cable.
And the launch units came with the SD media card reader support like that.
Yep.
All that shit that came standard with it that you had to basically buy extra for the Xbox if you wanted it, like the wireless, for example.
Yeah, and recently they just keep taking shit away.
They haven't, you know. Now the new models only have two USB ports, and that's been a big problem for the Move. You know, what are you going to do? You got to use one for the damn camera.
Yeah,
at all times.
They've got that. That's been a problem. They have a problem with. They took that. What was it? Was it Linux or whatever it was? They used to be able
Linux.
To do?
Linux. You were able to install a different operating system on the PS3.
Yep, they took that out of there. I guess with this whole PlayStation Plus, they went in. They said, like, you know, it used to come with like a game and a mini or whatever. And now it's a game. Uh-huh. They went in after people bought it and changed the user agreement after people agreed to it, saying it's a game or a mini. It's like they've been a bunch they just keep taking away.
First of all, for that, I saw that, and I haven't seen a month where they haven't come out with a game and a mini yet, so I'm not too concerned. Plus they usually come out with two games and a mini or two minis every month.
Well, the thing is how can like for those who had the PS3s with backwards compatibility, the ones that came with it, and they're like, they took that away. It's like, why would you do that?
They didn't take that away. That's not a hardware. That's not a software thing.
I know they took it away in there. They took it away in what the future things they put out
and the models.
Yeah, and I know like if this ever breaks out and I have to go get a new one.
Yeah. Yep.
I'm gonna lose that, and I have. Yeah. I've bought PlayStation 2 games, so I could play them on this console. I bought them while I've had this console. I don't have a PS2, and those games will all become irrelevant to me.
And it's weird, you know, the 360 just. Add stuff, you know. I can't think of, and maybe this is me being an Xbox, but I can't think of one thing that has been taken away from the 360. I guess the shitty memory card support now, because all the new models only have the USB card supports.
Yeah,
but even that's better.
Really, I mean, come on, people. I mean, they added Twitter. I don't tweet from my Xbox, but fuck it, it's there.
Well, I mean, PlayStation Network has added features too. They added Netflix in their own way too. They added all this stuff, but I'm talking about hardware, like the new models of the 360. They added a bigger hard drive. They added Wi-Fi. They slimmed it down. They added HDMI ports where they didn't have them before. All that stuff. Usually, you're supposed to be able to add features and still keep your costs down. I think the problem with the PlayStation is that it's so expensive to begin with to make. That it was always so expensive to begin with to make. The only way they could bring that cost down was to strip out some of the features that were most expensive that frankly, a lot of people didn't use, I guess. A lot of people didn't use four USB ports, but now that the PlayStation Move is here, I'm guessing a lot of people will use more USB ports.
Yeah,
but
they will.
If they got cables to go with them.
Yeah. So that's... All right, so I don't want to jump on too long with all this other shit, but
right.
PlayStation Move, one thing that so far has my hopes up is I know that they're going to release some, I don't know how they're going to release it, some software release that's going to say, okay, like Heavy Rain, you'll be able to play with the PlayStation Move. Hopefully SOCOM, the last one, for Confrontation, whatever it was, you know, I have that. Hopefully they'll be able to release that. Maybe even Killzone 2. I heard they might even release and be able to play. You know, those type of things would be fun to go, you know, if because they're going back, not just, well, what we're doing coming forward is this, but they're actually going back and saying, these games back here, we're going to do this with. And so that right now is one of the saving graces, because so far, I'm not all that excited to say that I spent $170 on this today.
Well, yeah, I mean, you got to give it. I mean, it's a launch, man. I mean, you wouldn't have been so all that excited to say that you spent $600 on a PS3 when it came out either. There was nothing out for it at that time. We got to see what happens with this thing. And one thing that's got me excited about it is, did you play Echo Chrome, the demo?
I have not.
Off that disc?
When we get offline, that is the thing I'm going to do next. And I'm like you said, in fact, your tweet was the reason, that was my pushing over point. Okay, fuck it, I'm going. And that, like, literally, I got in my car and I went.
Oh, really? My tweet was? Yeah, it's I wouldn't call it the killer app for it, and it's a puzzle game, but it's no Portal. I'll tell you that right up front. It absolutely is not Portal, but it may not be the killer app, but it gives me hope. A game like that gives me hope. It is a cool little game, and I don't think I've talked about it on the show here yet. So the premise of the game is that you are supposed to guide this little mannequin looking guy, he kind of looks like a wooden toy puppet guy. Mm-hmm. As a shadow, he isn't actually there, he's just a shadow, across other shadows to an exit. And the way you create the shadows is that the Move acts like a flashlight, and you have these blocks suspended in midair.
Yes, I know what you're talking about. And as you move the flashlight, the shadows will elongate or they'll shorten, and it'll like create bridges or things for him to jump on. Yeah, I have heard of that. Okay,
and you'll form together to create things, and it'll create. And sometimes you'll get into levels without an exit, and you have to use the shapes that are out there and you have to position the light just right so that they come together just right and create an exit. You have to create tunnels and warp things, like warp gates and stuff, out of shapes that are out there with the light. And it's, I mean, I tore through that entire demo in a matter of a half an hour, and then I immediately went and looked on the PlayStation Network to see if it was out yet. No dice. But if you buy a PlayStation Move, you get the demo disc, and you get this thing. I know you get it if you get the bundle with the camera, which only makes sense even if you have the camera, like I do. I already had another camera, but it's $50 for the controller, $50 for the sports game, which is sort of the game right now to get for it. You know, you're not gonna get something like this and not get a game.
Yeah.
And so it's $50 for each of those standalone anyways, and the bundle with the camera costs $100. So I was like, maybe I'll deceive myself into thinking that I'm gonna sell this thing, or maybe I'll leave one downstairs for like the really taxing games and just move the box downstairs, like get an HDMI cord downstairs and a power cable downstairs so I can just move the PlayStation downstairs when I need more space to do stuff with a Move, whatever.
Yeah.
And then I'll have one set up downstairs, one set up upstairs. Either way, I mean, $0 for a piece of technology that I could probably use for a lot of different things.
I'll take it.
Yeah, you know, whatever. Plus, they didn't have any standalone controllers when I went and got it last night. So, made a pretty easy decision for me.
There you go. I don't know. I know it's ridiculous. I've never been a fan of like the mech warrior type of games, but for some reason having two of those in my hands, I want a fucking mech warrior game.
Oh yeah. Well, hey. Oh, I got news for you actually. You know when I was talking to you about what they were doing at PAX with Steel Battalion, that when we walked around upstairs at on the very top floor, there was the setup in the room where they had like 40 different Steel Battalion controllers.
Yeah.
And that was the Mech Warrior game.
Yeah.
That is coming to Kinect.
Oh, really?
Really. With no controllers. With just the interface, I guess. They're going to try and bring this thing out for Kinect and see what that does. I feel like that game would be much better suited for a Move than Kinect. But, yeah. You know, you kind of need buttons for something like that. But maybe they'll pull it off. Maybe it'll be something really, really cool.
Yeah, you play the Kinect like you saw the Kinect like I saw the Kinect. For a game that complex, that's reaching. Maybe. But, I mean, like the dance thing is the best thing that's going to be on the Kinect. That and the fucking animal thing. The Kinectimals.
I still think the best is yet to come for the Kinect. I still think the best is going to be when they integrate a controller input and motion control into the same game.
I agree.
That's when it's going to really take off.
I mean, eventually what I think is going to happen, they're going to give you some sort of like hand devices that you put on. They're going to be like sensors, like gloves maybe, that will like read, you know, that kind of thing that will give you much more like, you know, they'll read like your fingertips and everything so you can kind of, you know, use much more finer points. Yeah. I think it'll be something like that. But
so hey, you know, PlayStation though first to market with the new motion controllers. Hey, they got a sale out of you and they got a sale out of me. So mission fuckers. Accomplished, I guess.
Fuck us.
So that's gonna do it for the care package. We're gonna move it on into Game Bang. This is the Game Bang, and you know, Farva, when I was writing these show notes up, I was writing them, and I had Halo Reach on this shit all the way up until we started recording, and then I realized I haven't really been playing Halo Reach at all, and I've been playing NHL 11 a lot, and I already talked about that, so I'm not going to take up anybody else's time talking about NHL 11 except to say that it's a fucking awesome game. If you have any interest in it, go out and get it. And play me online because the online experience is so much better than last year's. But I've already talked to you off about NHL 11. Farmer, what have you been game banging this week?
This week was Halo Reach. I had rented it. I was playing through it. I was about halfway through the third level when we talked last week. When Jitterbug put out a email, mass email to all of us crewbies. Hey, is someone going to review this? You know, it's a big game. Someone probably should. And I said, fuck it, I'll do it. And God, do I regret that, because I had to force myself to finish this fucking game. Now, for all of you Halo Jesus lovers out there, okay, I understand you're pissed. The game is pretty, the weapons are okay, you know, there are good things about the game. But for the most part, the levels were the same. There was a lot of drive here, fight this. Drive here, fight this, and every so often they would mix it up with drive here, fight this, press a button. It was the story was not overwhelmingly awesome. You're the sixth member in the squad of what was five. You show up, they all just, all right, what do you know about the story of Reach?
Okay, well, okay, so I know, of course, it's the end of the story is. I mean, I don't know how the game ends, but I know the story ends with Reach falling, right? That's the end, and that's the beginning of Halo series proper.
Correct.
What I know about the beginning of Reach is that you're the sixth member of a team that was six, and then the sixth guy died, and then you came in to replace him. That's what I know about the story of Reach so far, but then again, I haven't cracked it at all. Like, I've gotten through two missions, and then that's it.
Well, as much as I want to spoil you just because I'm pissed at this fucking game, mm-hmm. I will say that with the original Halos, there were moments that moved me. Even back on the Xbox, the first time you saw, when you were introduced to the Flood, and you saw like soldiers down, and it was like, well, what is that? That's not blaster damage. What the fuck is that type of thing? You know, yeah. And you're kind of walking through, and then like they come in, like you're overwhelmed by the Flood, and like all of these creatures, like they take down all of your Marines around you, and it's just you, and you're just surviving. And on Legendary, that shit was terrifying.
Right.
You know, and that's what I did from the very first time I played on Legendary. That was horrifying. Like the very first time that happened, and then you know, Captain Keys, or what is it? Is it Keys? Captain, what's the name? Anderson. Is it Anderson? Keys?
I thought it was Johnson, actually.
Is it? Whatever. He ends up getting absorbed into the flood.
Oh, Keys. Like, yeah, it's Keys.
Yeah, Keys. He's like, kill me. And so you kill him. And, you know, that. And there were these points in the game, and like we talked about last week, the Guilty Spark, that were just so fucking moving. And we're like, wow, this is an action game. But the story is taking these twists and these turns. And I'm like, what the fuck is happening? And then Halo 2, Halo 3... It's like, as the series went on, these moments became less and less, but they were still there. Like, when Captain Keyes' daughter became the captain, then she dies in Halo 3, and it was like, you know, she's shot in the back. I'm like, no! I mean, that I did not see that coming. That fucked me up, you know? I was like, damn. And in ODST, there were... That didn't really happen too much, but they generated the experience of you wake up, and you're living the experiences of your team. And as they become overwhelmed, you know, you live their experience. As they become overwhelmed, then you find them and you all battle through it. That was just a cool story to make, or a story arc that, you know, arches that really kind of created that atmosphere. In this game, you have this team. You're not around them long enough to give a shit.
Okay.
You're really not. One of my biggest problems is, like, for those of you who start the game, you get right off the front, and this was one of my biggest problems, was in the game, I found no real, or like, big movements until, all right, real quick, I found no big movements until the end of the game. After the credits roll is the first time I experienced something, I'm like, wow, okay, this is something cool. This is something that someone put in there just to make me go, wow. And that was it. Prior to that, one of my biggest problems is with the very first level, you walk in, there's a team full of Spartans, and they take their fucking helmets off. That pissed me off so much, because they're just fucking well-trained humans in shiny armor. That's all a Spartan is. Master Chief was a fucking god, and it wasn't until you beat Halo 3 on Legendary, and he kicked the shit out of an army full of intergalactic species all coming together. He handed everybody their ass, survived countless explosions, and just destroyed everything. Okay, he basically saved the entire universe pretty much single-handedly. Then he decides to take off his helmet. Cortana calls him John, and he goes to sleep. And you know, at that point in time, you know, you don't ever see his face, but he's a human. That's the first time they allow his humanity to come forth. Prior to that, he's a 7-foot, plasma-fueled, anger-fueled, I'm going to kick the shit out of everything that's not a human machine. In this, a Spartan is just a well-trained human.
Yeah. And
vicariously, Master Chief is just a tall fucking human. He's Vladdy Divac in armor.
Well, I think the point of all this is that the Master Chief is something different than all these people, you know? Master Chief is something different than all the Spartans. He's the last one, and so he is a total machine. He's a god among Spartans.
And that, I get that to a degree. Bottom line, they called him George, and, you know, Emil, and, you know, Kat, and they called him by their names, and they didn't call them, you know, it's
by
not
their
no
rank
ever
or whatever,
called
right.
Master Chief John.
No one ever called him that.
I mean, everybody who beat the game at that point in time and was named John, suddenly their e-penis got bigger. I don't care. I wanted him to be Dave so fucking badly, I can't even tell
Dave.
You. I really did. And when I heard he was called John, I'm like, no! Damn it!
That's,
you know,
funny.
That's just one of those things. So, the Halo experience was a letdown for me. The multiplayer experience, a lot of people are like, well, I like the multiplayer. The multiplayer was shit. The maps are way too fucking big. The only time it's even, like, close to, in like, the intimacy of battle where you're like, you know, people are on fucking top of you and you're fighting to survive is if you're in a free-for-all. And that, the smartest thing to do is just wait back, watch people fight, and then pick them off from a distance when their shields are down. Charging into battle is no fun.
Yeah.
Whereas if they had some sort of, like, and I'm a Call of Duty fan, and maybe I know I'm tainted, and I know I'm biased, but in Call of Duty, I only play, even in that, I only play hardcore. I don't play fucking regular, because no one should be shot in the head 4 times before they fall down. So if they had some sort of, you know, means of saying, okay, a couple shots, your shield's down, that's your warning, get the fuck out, you know, find cover or something, then you get put down, you know?
They have a headshots only mode called SWAT it's kind of up your alley.
Yeah, but even that wasn't. I did that. I did the headlong or whatever it's called, where you, like, you kill people and collect their skulls and got to run.
Yeah, headhunter, right?
Headhunter. Yeah, I didn't, and I'm not a biggest fan of the multiplayer, so that had something to do with it. But when it came to just straight up killing people, I found I did way better if I just let them duke it out and then I just, you know, finish them off from a distance. I could see, you could see who's getting their ass handed to them. So you pop them first and you take, you know, the rest of your half a clip, put the other guy down, reload and wait to take on the next guy. Hope you don't get shot in the back.
There's a certain elegance and strategy to the Halo multiplayer experience, and it's different than everything else, but I can understand the frustration with having to unload a clip, reload, and then continue shooting to kill one person. That is hard to get your head around. You know, to unload an entire machine gun clip into somebody and then have them not be dead. That's tough to, for especially for like a Call of someone who's weaned over the past few years on Call of Duty. That's the multiplayer shooter experience right now. That's not what this is at all.
Yeah. But the other thing was is like in the original Halo and Halo 2, there are levels where they're like tight. The quarters are tight. Like even I don't even remember what the level was, but it's the level that had like two towers on either end, a couple of walkways. It was like it was mostly gray in the original Halo, and it had like a bunch of like little like short gray pillars all spread throughout. They're like the bottom floor. Uh-huh. Me and my friends would get rockets, and on that, even with like from across the map, you could see somebody. You could see someone there. Maps were not gigantic. You could try and sneak around, but it was hard, you know? In this, some of the times the maps are like we played. I played with Shaha and I don't remember who on our gamer night, and we had a couple guys get together. We started playing. We did a 4-on-4, and the map, it was Mutton Chop was there. The map timed out before we got done. Because we couldn't fucking find anybody. You know, we were on the Blood Gulch remake, and it was so fucking big. I would go for 20, 25 seconds before I even found anybody.
The Blood Gulch map is especially offensive in that regard. It is a huge, huge map.
And the thing is, I remember Blood Gulch in the first one. Running across the map was not that fucking slow. You know, it was ridiculous. Then we went into like one of the bigger team matches where it's like 8-on-8. There's like 16 players. Thinking, okay, in a map this size, double the players, that will be better. They doubled the size of the fucking map. The map was twice as fucking big. I'm like, this is bullshit. It was retarded. I mean, it was pretty much. It was a bunch of guys all standing back trying to get headshots on the other team, and it was a rush to see who get the most headshots because there was no intimacy battle. There was no getting up close. The only time I said I got that was in that multiplayer shit or in the free-for-all shit. So, no, I do not dig it.
You are fired up tonight. God damn.
I did not like the Halos. So, for those of you who are the Halo Jesus, I'm sorry. I'm not saying this. I got this game at the midnight. I waited up so I could get it. I wanted it to be good. Yeah. I really did. I'm not a big fan of the Halo multiplayer because I prefer the like one shot, one kill aspect of gaming. But I enjoyed all the Halos, and I liked ODST, and I loved Firefight. Firefight in this was laggy and broken. I mean, so I got this thinking, this is going to be good. This is no longer ODST. This is back to the Spartans. This is the epic. This is what they've been doing. I had such high hopes for this, and it let me down in so many different areas that in the end I'm just like I had to get drunk. All right, we'll talk about that later, but I'm talking about it now. I got drunk and called up and got online with BSAA Vinny, Miss Drunky TS, and Mutton Chop, and that is how I finished the game. I was just getting drunk, and like the four of us were going through the campaign on normal and just blowing through it, and I was just being loud and obnoxious, and like, you know, I would get my hands on a hammer and I'd fucking beat Vinny to death, and then he'd be like, I'm gonna forgive you. I'm like, thanks, dude. As soon as he come back, I'd beat him to death again. You know? Like, that was, I had to find my own entertainment because I found the game to be fucking dull.
Well, okay, so hang on a second here, Farmer. Let's slow it down a little bit. Because in a game like Halo, it is not Call of Duty. It is not a realistic experience at all, and truth be told, Call of Duty is not realistic either. That's the speed of that game makes it an absolute arcade shooter where you can't take much punishment. This is an arcade shooter where you can take a lot of punishment. But half of the charm of multiplayer in Halo for me has always been finding your own fun. Like, for example, I was playing in a match the other night with some of the SG crew, and we were playing with my old buddy Hatakra, and he had inadvertently and unbeknownst to him gotten into a Warthog and was driving it around with an enemy in the turret, and he was driving it to our base like, hey, what's up, guys? And the enemy's just lighting us up with a turret. It was hilarious. We were screaming at him, trying to get him to stop. We were just laughing so hard that nobody could impart onto him what he was doing. And that's not the first time that's ever happened to me in Halo. I was on the offensive end of that one time, and it was one of the best experiences I think I've ever had in Halo, having the enemy drive me right to his teammates, and let me just light him up, and then immediately all the teammates are screaming to get away from it, so I get out of the fight immediately and I don't take any punishment at all.
Nice.
These are the kinds of experiences that Halo has, and with the customization of this game, I think you can create your own really, really fun, really, really crazy, unique experiences. You're not going to have that happen to you in any other game.
Yeah, no, the thing is I shouldn't need to find somebody else and need to find my own fun in a game, and that's what I had to do to enjoy this game. Now, I may be coming down on it extra hard, but I was just so disappointed in what it offered, and the story I found to be lacking. I did not enjoy the game. I wanted to so badly. I just didn't do it. So, sorry, but that's my game bang, was Halo boredom.
Well, maybe I'll have a counterpoint for you here in the future, but I don't have one right now. Like I said, I guess it kind of speaks for the quality of the game and the engagement of the game that I have passed on it, like, multiple times. I will play NHL. I will play with The Move before I will play with Halo Reach. I think that speaks to it a little bit. I will play it, and I will beat the campaign, and I will play multiplayer, and I will play Firefight, but I have not. And I think that says something.
It certainly does.
So that's going to do it for Game Bang, and we're going to go on into Fresh Catch. This is Fresh Catch, and this is a special edition of Fresh Catch with PlayStation Move deals for those that are interested, and then something on the back end for those that aren't really into the PlayStation Move. So Kmart seems to be the best place to get yourself a PlayStation Move, if you can get your hands on one, because I tried last night, Farvet, and they didn't have any. So I ended up paying full price for it somewhere else.
Well, real quick, if you really, really, really wanted it, okay, so be it. If you were just like, I could have waited a week or so, then you're a dumbass. Because anytime they have a deal like that and they don't have it, you can ask for a rain check. And they will write you, like, a coupon that basically says they will give you whatever they're offering, the Move bundle at that said price,
yeah,
plus whatever it was that they promised. They will give you that deal. They lock it in.
So the reason that it wasn't all that important to me was I was just out that way anyways.
And
the thing with this Kmart deal is that the Move bundle with the controller, the camera, and the Sports Champions game, that costs $100. They'll give you a $25 gaming coupon for use at Kmart there. And if you just want the controller for $50, they'll give you a $10 gaming coupon. I would have gotten it there if I could have, but I don't know when the next time I'll be out to Kmart is. It's not exactly local to me anyways, mm-hmm. So it's kind of a pain in the ass to get out there, and then I have to use the coupon. And they've been running like an Amazon racket, like where if you pre-order things, they'll give you a coupon. Like the whole, if you pre-order Black Ops on Amazon.com right now, you get a $20 gaming credit for future purchase.
Okay.
So they've been running that, and the difference between Amazon and Kmart is, like, Amazon, I can just buy shit and have them deliver it to me. Kmart, I got to go out to, and it's kind of out in the sticks for me a little bit. But there is one around me, and that's where I was last night. So once I got that, and once I kind of got the taste. I was like, ugh, they don't have it. I really want to try it tonight. And then I justified it by saying that I had a podcast to record the next night that I wanted to talk about it on.
Good call. Yeah, that's what I did too. Like, honey, yeah. I got to get it today. I got a podcast in a few hours. I got to set it up. I know I said I'd do the dishes. I'll do them tomorrow. I swear I'll do them tomorrow.
So whatever it takes, I gotta get my hands on this thing. So, but seriously, guys, if you don't want to pay full price for the thing, your best deal's at Kmart. $100 for the Move bundle that comes with the controller, the camera, and the Sports Champions game. And then they kick you back a $25 gaming coupon. It's $100 everywhere else without any kind of incentive. And then the Move controller on its own is $50, and you get a $10 gaming coupon. So that's your best deal if you can make that happen. If you got a Kmart near you and they've got it in stock, go for it. The other gaming deal, if you're not interested in PlayStation Move, is for Left 4 Dead 2. And I'm not sure this ever came out for Left 4 Dead 1, but it's the passing DLC. This week on Xbox Live has been discounted. I think this was a $7 DLC, whatever that works out to in Microsoft points. This week it's 320 points, which makes it $4. So, if you never got your hands on this one, it's $4 for basically a full campaign of Left 4 Dead 2. If you've played through it and you enjoyed it, give this one a shot. It's $4. You know, it's the same price you would pay for Dead Rising, I guess, or a little bit less than that. So, you know, give it a crack. That's the deal of the week for those who are not so interested in the PlayStation Move. So that's going to do it for Fresh Catch, and we're going to go on into Gamer Night announcements. All right, this is Gamer Night Announcements, and I'm going to let Farva kick this one off for his Thursday Gamer Night, which I guess you've already kind of gone over, but why don't you give some more details on this thing?
I pretty much did. I was just talking about the Reach. We showed up. I told people we'd do Reach because I rented it. We got in. We did not enjoy the multiplayer. We played for about an hour and decided, fuck this. And then we were looking at going and playing other stuff, and some of the guys were like, ah, I'm going to get offline. I'm like, all right, guys, thanks. That was great. So we got offline. A couple hours later, I'm like, well, fuck, I can't sleep. I'm supposed to beat this game so I can review it. I might as well do it. Got online, ran into BSA Vinny, Mutton Chop, and Miss Drunky TS, formerly Lily's Keeper. We went ahead and just got drunk. Me and Drunky TS got hammered. The other two were relatively sober as far as
I know. Hey, how about that shit, huh? Big ups. Miss Drunky TS,
that's pretty,
awesome.
That is classy. That is classy. Yeah. So, yes, we applause to you. I would applause, but I'm drunk and I'm kind of leaning on my desk right now. So, anyway, and then we beat the game and I was hammered and I already talked about all that. So that was my Thursday night gamer night. Saturday, what happened?
Saturday, everything fell apart for me because I went to Sausage Fest, man. I did not expect that to destroy my Saturday gaming and movie watching plans, but man, did it ever, and it gloriously destroyed it. I was happy to go to Sausage Fest, and the gamer night did not happen. I tried to employ you and Dave to cover the bad movie Drinky Drinky, and I guess that thing just completely fell apart.
Essentially, for some reason, my Xbox, that Friday and Saturday night, would not connect to the internet. I don't know what it was. I thought it was a problem with the motel's internet. It wasn't. My computer got on just fine, but I could not get my Xbox to connect. It would get on their system, but when you do the test, it goes, you know, whatever the local, you know, network is, then the internet, and then Xbox Live. I got on the local network, and from there to internet, I couldn't jump on. And I reset the thing so many times. I did it manually. I programmed all the numbers in manually, the DNS lines, everything. It just wouldn't fucking work. I tried that thing for 45 minutes. So,
God damn, man.
And, I mean, Miss Drunky TS was very upset. This was her first one. Complained on Twitter to Jitterbug and how it was a letdown. He apologized.
No.
I apologized. I made Aladouche apologize because, you know, I don't know. That dude should be sorry for something.
Well, he's the reason that I wasn't there.
Good enough.
There you go.
So, long story short, Miss Drunky, I'm sorry. I will do my very, very best. I'm usually, if I'm off work and I'm connected, I'm there because it's an excuse to drink. I mean, I put this out on Twitter, you know, I love drinking with my Xbox on because when the people are online, I'm not alone. You know, I'm not a true alcoholic as long as people
That's
are
true.
Online.
So, That's true.
Yeah. So I don't know. So I'm sorry.
I got a feeling you're gonna have to put in the extra effort to get it this weekend too, because actually, the fisherwoman who you were talking to earlier, it is her birthday this weekend, and so we will be indisposed on Saturday night, basically all day Saturday actually.
Let's be fair. You're gonna be busy from like 2:30 to like 2:45. Then you're gonna take a nap for like 4 hours and recover. Then you'll show up at our bad movie drinky drinky.
No, we've got dinner planned, so that's not going to work.
I'm going to be gone. It's her birthday, so I'm going to be gone all day.
Well, we're going to be doing shit all day, and then I've got dinner plans. That's what I'll be doing during bad movie drinking time.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I will not be there. I will need somebody to step up and run that shit. Hopefully you, Farwa, but if you can't do it, I'll employ. Maybe I'll see if our buddy Colby will take care of it for us.
There you go. But. He's got enough shout-outs. About time to call on him.
Yeah. Have you got a gamer night for us this week at all?
You know what? I want to say yes, but here's the thing. I've noticed we have gamer nights every fucking week, and we never get the same group of people. It's like people just kind of come or go. And right. So here's the thing. Come 9:15 Mountain Standard Time, I will be online gaming. I don't know what the fuck I'll be playing, because at 9:15 Mountain Standard Time, as soon as I get off work, I turn on my Xbox and I fucking start gaming.
Okay.
So I'll be there. I'm not going to say, oh, it's going to be Modern Warfare, it's going to be this, it's going to be that. It'll be on the Xbox because it's what I bring with me to work. And as long as I can connect to the net, I'll be there. Fucking show up. Let's see what happens.
There you go. That seems fine to me. If I'm online, feel free to invite me. Let's play some games together. But official gamer nights are becoming a bit of a challenge these days. So let's just roll with it, man. If you see me online, let's play some video games. That's it. So we'll be doing a bad movie drinky drinky this Saturday. I won't be a part of it, but it will be going off this Saturday. We will have. Somebody make up for the debacle that was last
in
week.
In fact, I'll tell you what. Like, I've seen this movie multiple times. Like, I've seen the case for it. It's The Burrowers. It's the one that's got like you're looking at the horizon, but you're looking at the dirt underneath, and there's like a skull made out of roots and shit. And apparently, like, I read the little description on it, and it's like these men have like come. These people come to this campsite. It's like set. Looks like it's set in like the Old West, and all the men are killed and the women are gone. And they set off after them thinking that it was like Indians or something like that. And it turns out to be something far worse. And I'm like, yeah, I'm like, you know what? That would make a good bad movie drinky drinky. So that was going to be my vote. And, I thought it was just some like super shitty movie. But I just saw it at Walmart for like, $10. So it can't be like a super, super shit. It can't be like Jesus Christ, Vampire Hunter, or any of those other like mega shitty movies,
Right. Because Walmart doesn't sell shit.
No. I mean, they sell shit, but they don't sell, like, shit that stinks.
Yeah. I think that's going to do it for Gamer Night announcements, and that's really going to do it for the show. I don't have any shout-outs for the people. Do you have anything in particular for them this week, Farva?
You know what? Just for the people, like, I did do a lot of gaming this week, and I did game with a lot of people. If I didn't mention you, I'm sorry, because if you were gaming with me, I was drunk, I was loud, I was probably hitting on you, and I'm sorry.
So an apology, not a shout-out.
We'll go with that.
Okay, well there you go. Yeah, I don't have anything in particular this week. Shout out for my boy Aladouche, if he's listening to this. Thank you for your incredible hospitality on Saturday. Farva, let me tell you about my boy Aladouche, because I think this is a friendship that's going to last. He invited me out to Sausage Fest, and Jamie was working, and I went out to Sausage Fest, and we had some beer and we had some meat, and we watched a football game. And then after that, we went back to his mom's house, and his girlfriend cooked us one of the best chicken parmesans I've had in a long, long time. And some broccoli and some garlic bread and pasta and all this shit. And then at the end of the night, I walked away with 2 6-packs of free beer. So, you know what? Sorry, bad movie drinky drinky. But I had a pretty good Saturday on my own, and
real quick,
shout out to my boy for his hospitality.
Speaking of football, Chicago Bears 2-0. That's right. Mike Martz's system coming online. Fuck you, Cowboys. As a Bears fan who lives in Dallas, I was just like, fuck all y'all. It was awesome.
And speaking of football, man, two ship heads, one cup is going down this week.
Both of my fantasy teams suck. All of my guys are getting injured. I'm like, fuck.
And guess who you got this week, baby? You got me. 2-0.
That's all right. I'm hacking your email. I'm trading all of your best players.
Good luck, because there's a lot of them.
Fuck you, you ass.
You're going the fuck on down, and we'll be 3-0 and rolling in the Talking Ship Football League. You know, but
your mom never liked you when you were acting like this.
That's all right. I'll beat her in fantasy football too. I do have my mom this week in fantasy football.
Wow.
Yeah. All right, so that's going to do it for the Game Lounge, episode number 17. We're going to get in and play some video games, man, so that means you got to get out of the Game Lounge.
Thanks for showing up. Get the fuck out.